following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
Hey, where y'all at?
It is a thrill. I love this show.
You're telling me a big fat lie.
I was hoping for funny, crazy.
I will get on stage on Broadway and I will reenact the rantings of Charlie Sheen one day.
Think you can replace me with some other guy? Go ahead. It won't be the same.
'Tis mightiest in the mightiest.
Do not bring Shakespeare into this.
You're so smart.
Oh, really? Well, so are you.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room.
I know exactly who that is. That's the mother that loses every game. That's Kirk Cousins. Get rid of him.
Wow.
Bros, come on. I love you, bros.
Does everybody have to be crazy today?
Now get me, Savior!
Second down and 7. Robinson to the end zone, touchdown. Second down and 10. Here's Howell going deep. Oh! To the end zone, and it's caught. Touchdown, Dotson. Jones over the middle. Broken up and picked off.
Don't get cocky, fucknuts.
I just think that it's just perfect having Dirt from Beer League be the zeitgeist of this show. Win or lose with the Commanders. Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Bob Matthews. It's a Victory Formation Monday on a Wednesday. Yeah, we were a little late getting this one taped this week. What are you going to do? But we are celebrating a win as the Commanders get off the deck. They beat New England 20-17. They're 4-5. They're only a game basically in back of Seattle for that seventh playoff spot. It is what it is right now, and the test gets a lot tougher this week. Now, in a few minutes, we're going to talk with Sam Fortier of the Washington Post, one of our Commanders insiders. And Sam, if you haven't read it, go to the Washington Post website right now and read his story from Monday on what it was that New England did defensively, that the Commanders recognized offensively, and that they beat offensively as well. It's an excellent article, and Sam does a great job with it. He will be here to talk about that, and we'll chop it up with him in just a few minutes. Real quick, let's go to the Caps. Let's switch gears and talk hockey real quick. Capitals in action as we record this tonight. They are in action Wednesday against the Florida Panthers at Capital One Arena. The Caps right now are 5-4-1. They have 11 points. They are sitting in fifth in the Metro. They can tie the Islanders points-wise if they can get a win tonight. And they have won, what, I think 4 out of their last 5. So it's getting a little better for Washington. I am assuming that Darcy Kuemper is back between the pipes tonight. Charlie Lindgren gave him a great game in their win over Columbus over the weekend. All right, back to the Commanders now. We will have more on the Caps later in the week. So the Pats game was one of those games I call a TCB game, which is take care of business. They did not do that the last two of those that they had against Chicago and the Giants. Had they taken care of business in those games instead of 4-5 right now, they'd be sitting at 6-3. And you would be talking very seriously about the playoffs. However, that did not happen, and they are not. They are 4-5. They have a much tougher test this weekend against Seattle than they did last weekend against New England. The game had both highs and lows. There were a ton of plays that the Patriots missed on offense that could have very easily turned this into a much, much different outcome. But by the same token, the Commanders missed some plays out there too, not the least of which was that god-awful interception at the end of the first half that had Sam Howell not thrown it, would have at least given them 3 points going into the half, and it would have been a one-point game as opposed to a four-point game. Conceivably, had he not thrown that thrown a touchdown instead, could have very easily, again, been a very different score. The thing you have to take out of it, though, for the positive, is that Sam Howell, for the second week in a row, looked really good. And with the exception of that Giants game, has gotten better each week. He's not making, is he still making mistakes? Of course he is. Is he making the same mistakes? No, he's not. The quick game that Eric Bieniemy put in last week worked again this week. Howell was great at it. He wound up 29 of 45 for 308 yards, one touchdown, one interception, and a quarterback, a QBR 65.3, and that's out of 100, so it ain't bad. It also enabled the running game to thrive. They had 124 yards on the ground, largely because of the quick game. Yes, 27 of that was Howell on that one scramble, that 24-yard scramble. But still, 100, you know, even if you take that out, it's almost, you know, you take out that 24-yard scramble, it's still 100 yards of rushing. You can't ask for a whole lot more than that. You got to be happy with that. Defensively, obviously, that 65-yard touchdown run that they gave up to New England, and we'll talk to Sam about that. And the reason I think you all know by now is because of the stunt game that David Mayo and Javon Davis played there, and Davis didn't get to the hole, was not good. But by and large, the defense did well. The other touchdown they gave up was on a short field, thanks to a Brian Robinson fumble. And other than that, they gave up 3 points in the second half. I am a little concerned about the pass rush, but I also give the team a little bit of a pass this week because the Patriots' passing game was a lot like the Commanders in that they were short passes. There weren't a lot of 5- and 7-step drops there for Mac Jones, and there were not a lot of very slow developing routes out there either. And of course, we know the one fumble or the one sack was from KJ Henry was wiped out by probably the worst call I thought any of us have seen probably in our lifetime. You also have to like the fact that this year's draft class has started to show up and made some impact plays. Again, Henry sack that wasn't, Quan Martin with an interception, Chris Rodriguez with a great special teams tackle, and hats off to Emmanuel Forbes too, who, again, these wide receivers are a step down from what he is going to see this weekend and what he had seen, you know, in weeks past. But he had a solid game. He really did. Three tackles. He had two pass deflections, and he graded out incredibly. And I know there are people out there that don't like the PFF grades, but I mean, numbers are what the numbers are. He had an overall rating of 91.3. He had a coverage grade of 91. And just in case you were wondering, again, 60 is average, is what you expect out of a starter. 71 is good. 81 is even better. 91 is something that they would consider an all-pro or an elite level. Last week, you know, Emmanuel Forbes was really, really good. Now, hopefully that doesn't mean they're just going to abandon him and stick him out on an island, especially with guys like DK Metcalf coming up this week. It's going to be a lot tougher, but it'll be interesting to see how he builds on that as well. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Sam Fortier of the Washington Post joins us. We are going to break the whole thing down and chop it up with him. Stick around. It's the Bob Matthews Podcast right here on the Hockey Podcast Network. DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking new customers up with an offer that's even better than ever. Bet $5 on any game this week and score $200 instantly in bonus bets. And DraftKings isn't stopping there. All customers can take advantage of a sweetener offer every single game day this October and this November as well. As a matter of fact, looking ahead to Thursday Night Football this week, the Titans are getting 3 points in Pittsburgh. You got an over-under of 115. I'm sorry, the over-under is 36.5, my bad. Steelers are giving up 3 points. As for the Commanders, they have opened as an early 3-point underdog on the road against New England. So get in on game day greatness. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the code THPN, and new customers can score $200 instantly in bonus bets. That's when you bet $5 on the NFL. It's code THPN only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, licensed partner Golden Nugget, Lake Charles, Louisiana, 21 and up. Age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Now, it might be too early to start decorating for the holidays, but it is never too early to start your holiday shopping. And why not take care of it now before the crowds and the packed calendars make shopping a complete and utter nightmare, especially when you get some of the best deals of the season well before Black Friday. That's why Raycon wants you to shop their products right now and save up to 50% off because of their early Black Friday sale that's going on right now. That's right, I said 50% off. Now, you've heard me talk about Raycon's products before, primarily the earbuds, and the earbuds are fantastic. They got two models of those out now, four when you think about it. You got the everyday and the fitness earbuds, you got the impact earbuds and the gaming earbuds. They start at $79, and they've also got a ton of other products now, including power tech, home tech. You can get an air purifier for them if you want. You want a faucet filter? Yeah, they got those too. They've got portable speakers, they've got headphones. Raycon has it all, and with superior quality and just a fraction of the cost some of those other brands that are out there, if you know what I mean. Oh, I didn't mention their Magic 180 cables. Yeah, 5-star reviewed. You can charge iOS devices. It's got micro USB Type-C devices, 8 times faster with the 100-watt power delivery. Raycon is known for delivering high-quality, thoughtful features at half the price of the other premium tech brands, so it's no wonder their products have racked up tens of thousands of 5-star reviews. And to get everybody in the holiday shopping spirit a little early, Raycon is currently offering 20% off everything on their site, with select products up to 50% off. So beat the crowds now, save now. Trust me, you do not want to miss out on Raycon's early Black Friday sale. Hurry now to buyraycon.com/THPN. Get 20 to 50% off site-wide. That's buyraycon.com/THPN to score up to 50% off Raycon products. Buyraycon.com/THPN.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
I know you see. Let's bring him on in. He is our Commander's Insider from the Washington Post, Sam Fortier. Sam, thank you so much for being with us. But before we get started, so I got to tell you a story. So last week, my executive producer, Vinny Bumbach, comes to me. He says, all right, we got a choice. You got your choice. You can have Timothy Chalamet next week. You can have Sam Fortier. I said, choice? There's no choice here. I said, I want Fortier. Get me Fortier.
Get me Sabian.
Wow. It is, I know Timothy Chalamet is blowing up right now, all these new movies that he's in. I think he's, is he Willy Wonka? Or is he, he's some big character.
He's all over the place. He's Willy Wonka. So, he's in Dune. He's in everything now.
I know. It's crazy. So, you know, I'm glad that there's one person out there who would pick me over him right now.
Oh, hell yes. I want to see Timothy Chalamet break down the Patriots cover zero. You think he can do it? No. He can't do it. Chalamet can't do it. Fortier is the one that does that.
Oh, man. I mean, it was a real fun game for me going home at the homecoming. You know, my family came down from Maine, and so, you know, they were in the stands yesterday. And you know, anytime you have a little bit of extra juice at a game like that and the Commanders win and they're in a good mood in the locker room, you feel like you got to bring your A game. So when I was breaking down the tape last night and this morning, I was just trying to live up to that standard. You know what I mean?
Hey, let me tell you something. The story you had on Monday in the Post, breaking down cover zero and everything and how that was the game decider, EGOT level stuff right there. I'm telling you, if people have not read that yet, they need to go out and read that. It's a hell of a thing that you're doing now. And this is something you do every Monday, right?
I appreciate the kind words. You know, I've been writing our Monday morning follow next story since I joined the beat in 2020, but it was only this year that I gained access to the quality and of film and the speed at which I could get it this year. That's a new thing this year. And so I think it's been a quantum leap for my ability to analyze the game in real time and not necessarily wait until Monday afternoon when I used to get tape to break it down. And it's just, I really appreciate you noticing, because I feel like my work has stepped up this year. And so it means a lot that you noticed.
Oh, absolutely. And that super secret squirrel All-22 tape that you get doesn't hurt either. I'm very jealous of you, by the way, that they've got that for you. But nevertheless, so you're up in the press box, game's winding down, you're in the locker room, you're talking to guys. When does it occur to you that this week it's the Patriots' use of cover zero and Sam Howell's ability to beat that that's going to be that story?
So I'm glad you asked that, because it didn't stick out to me right away as the difference. I noticed, obviously, that Washington's offense was more successful. And when I was analyzing the game, you know, when I'm watching the game, I can see, okay, the Patriots are playing a little bit of cover zero. You know, they didn't beat it super effectively. They didn't beat it on the first play. And the next three plays were solid, but they weren't splashy, you know, gains of 3, 5, and 7 yards. Then they hit the touchdown to Jahan Dotson. And so then when I realized, okay, I think that was against zero, and you go back and you watch the replay on TV, you're like, okay, that is zero. Then you start to wonder, okay, is that something I should write about? But I really didn't have a firm plan until I went in the locker room. And then I was in the locker room and I was talking to Terry McLaurin, and I said, hey, you know, the New York Giants play a lot of man-to-man coverage. They blitz a lot with Wink Martindale, defensive coordinator. Why were you guys able to beat the Patriots, which also run a lot of blitzes and man-to-man coverage? Like, what is the difference? Because you would think that Bill Belichick, you know, with his reputation, especially against young quarterbacks, he's going to be able to disguise it better. He's going to give you more problems. And Terry said the biggest difference was how much we prepared for cover zero this week. And as soon as those words left his mouth, I knew I was writing about cover zero. And so then I went around to everybody else in the locker room and said, hey, what was cover zero preparation like? And I got Sam Cosmi and Andrew Wiley, Sam Howell talking about, hey, you know, we stressed this in practice this week. Here were the checks that we made. Here's how we countered the checks in the game, because when we went to a bunch of quick passes, then, you know, the defense started playing up. And then when they start playing up, we hit the long pass over the top to Jahan. And so it's really, you know, it was really a loose idea, one of a couple different ideas I was thinking about. I was also thinking about, you know, just Sam Howell throwing downfield, which he's done more recently. I was thinking about, you know, okay, the defense, you had the broken play, but you were able to, you know, recover, which you haven't in previous weeks. And so I was looking at the schematics of that. And really, I think it just ultimately, once Terry McLaurin said that his biggest takeaway from this game was, we can hurt cover zero, and we never should have been struggling against cover zero in the first place. It's like a light bulb goes off in my head, and I'm like, all right, that's my version of hitting the touchdown to Jahan.
I like that very much. So, and speaking of what, you know, McLaurin was saying, so how much of this do you think the success of the offense last week was based and predicated on the fact that Eric Bieniemy made a change along the offensive line, bringing in Tyler Larson and Chris Paul for Nick Gates and Sadiq Charles?
Yeah, I mean, I think those things are inextricable, right? Because it all works in concert. I think that, you know, when I asked Terry, why was this different? You know, why were you able to beat cover zero now? He said it was about communication. It was about everyone being on the same page on every play, because he felt like he was particularly frustrated in New York. I remember being in the locker room. He was very frustrated talking about, okay, if people are going to cover zero us, we got to be able to beat them down the field. And we weren't able to today. And that, he said, was, you know, a communication thing, whether it was the quarterback and the receivers being on different pages, the quarterback and the line being on different pages, the play caller not being on the same page. So he said, really, it was about everyone just understanding, hey, when we get this look, we're going to check, we're going to have these, you know, these zero checks that we're going to get to. And when we get to those zero checks, these are the landmarks we have to hit. And so I think, you know, sometimes I think that players say it was everything just to cover up like one weak link. But I think that, you know, to your point, if you go look at that Jahan Dotson touchdown, I mean, New York brought 7 rushers. Sam checked to a max protection, so he had 7 blockers. And, you know, up the middle, Tyler Larson is a pretty stout presence. He handles his guy, and he gives Sam Howell a clean pocket, him and the rest of the line, gives Sam Howell a clean pocket that he can step up to and deliver a strike to Jahan Dotson. So, you know, if you go back, the first four passes against zero, Sam got rid of the ball in 2.6 seconds or faster. against, you know, on that Jahan Dotson play, it was 3.0 seconds. So that line gave him the time to let Sam Howell let Jahan Dotson win down the field and then put a ball right where only he can grab it. So, you know, I think the line was a big part of it. It's inextricable, but it's more complicated than that because everything is working together.
Isn't that the truth? So what do you think this says about Howell, both in the short term against Seattle and then in the longer term for the rest of the season? You know, can he replicate this success against Seattle, or do the Seahawks bring a different defense and different problems?
Well, Seattle's going to play, you know, sort of a different style of defense, a little bit less man-to-man, a little bit less blitzing. They just traded for Leonard Williams from the Giants, who obviously the Commanders are very familiar with. So, you know, they have pass rush help. They just got beat the brakes off of, though, so they're going to be trying to come back and prove that that was a fluke against Baltimore. So I think Seattle will present a very different set of problems that they'll have to solve. But here's the thing, man, is once you can start figuring out these sets of problems in real time, you know, particularly against a very good defensive head coach in Bill Belichick, I mean, you've got to feel confident about your ability to solve the next set of problems. So they got to keep this momentum going.
Success basically breeds success.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And so, you know, maybe, I mean, Seattle, I think, is a better team than New England. And obviously Bill Belichick, for all his, you know, for all his success, he does look like a lion in winter up there in New England. So, you know, this, you know, I think that can they beat a really good, a team that's been very good this season with, you know, a top pick in Devin Witherspoon at corner? Can Washington win against, you know, a better team? I think that's a really big question and something they've got to answer this year.
How about now defensively? You look at the numbers, obviously, no sacks without Chase Young and Montez Sweat. K.J. Henry should have had one, bogus call wiped it out. But is there anything to be concerned about defensively with this new group that they have up front?
Yeah, I haven't looked as deeply at the defensive tape yet, so I want to reserve the right to change my mind. But my initial impression watching the game live was, like you said, that the Patriots were running a lot of quick stuff. You know, they should have had that sack with K.J. Henry. But I think that, you know, they're going to have to keep teams – In obvious passing situations, you know, second and long, third and long, things like that. So, and I think that, you know, besides for their one, you know, the Jamin Davis not getting over on the cross dog blitz that allowed Ramondre Stevenson to have rip off that long touchdown run, they didn't have any big breakdowns, particularly in coverage, which I thought was important. You know, Mac Jones said after the game that when Emmanuel Forbes was in the game, they were going to throw at him. Emmanuel Forbes played a little bit better. So I think those are encouraging signs for a defense. But obviously you want to see more pressure on the quarterback for sure.
That is definitely what they need to do. All right, so Seattle this weekend, it's up in the Pacific Northwest. It's a 4:25 game on the East Coast. What should we be looking at, especially concerning Sam Howell, to see, to know that he is still progressing and developing here?
Not to sound like Ron Rivera here, but he's got to be consistent. You know, we've seen Sam have these really good moments, but against New York, you know, he wasn't getting to these situations all the time. He's proven now that he can do it, and so how regularly can you do it? I talked to Sam yesterday about, you know, why he was able to execute against Cover Zero. He said, I was more prepared this week. I was just simply better at it. And so can he continue to whatever he figured out in terms of his preparation, can he continue to sustain that going forward?
We're going to find out, that's for sure. Sam Fortier of the Washington Post, my friend, thank you so much for joining us. As always, we appreciate it, and we will talk to you again very soon.
Bob, I always appreciate talking ball with you, and thanks so much for having me on.
Anytime, my friend, anytime. Great Sam Fortier, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to do it for us. Make the clock on the wall say we got to get out of here. We will be back after Sunday. We'll relive the whole thing, figure out where the Commanders go from there. Have a good one, everybody. Enjoy your NFL weekend. Enjoy the hockey as well. And remember, like the wise man once said, if you're on your bike side, as always, you wear white.
Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste. I've been around for a long, long year. So many a man's soul of faith. I was around when Jesus Christ had his moment of doubt and pain. Made damn sure. sure the pilot washed his hands and sealed his fate. Pleased to meet you, hope you guess my name. But what's puzzling you is the nature of my game. Stuck around St. Petersburg when I saw it was a time for a change. Killed the Tsar and his ministers, Anastasia screamed in vain. I rode a tank, held a generous rank when the blitzkrieg raged and the fire.